Father, thank you this morning for the celebration of the birth of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come remembering his birth. And we come again astonished by his birth, that he would leave his heavenly throne and come to be born in a manger stable and to be adored by shepherds and to be gifted by wise men and, Lord, to be praised by Simeon and Anna and to be blessed by them. And, Lord, we recognize that this was not just a happenstance, but that, Father, this was your plan even from before the foundations of the world as we have been studying. And, Father, we join together in celebrating that occasion as we look forward to Christmas as well this week. So my prayer would be, Father, that you would use me as your servant to speak forth the truth about Christmas to your people, so that as we go this week to celebrate it, that, Father, our hearts would be, our minds would be renewed and refreshed, and our hearts would be stirred by the story of the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name and for his glory that we ask all things and ask your blessings to be upon this time now and upon this year's servant as he brings forth the message. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and I ask it in his matchless name. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray it. Amen. Well, yesterday, Lynette and I had a little bit of time to spend together, which sometimes comes fairly infrequently in the busyness of our schedules. The past week, Lynette has been... Lynette and Janine and Joelle actually have been kind of dog sitting Lynette's brother's dog while they took vacation to go out to Arizona. And so we made connections yesterday to reconnect with them and to pass off the dog and to be able to come back home again. So we had to drive to Rockford in order to do that. And so that gave us some time in the vehicles while we were driving back and forth. And when we got home, she asked me a question. She says, "Aren't you excited?" And I was like, "Well, what am I supposed to be excited about? You know, I mean, it's not your birthday. It's not our anniversary. Christmas is still 2 days away. Yeah, we have one less dog to watch. We can be excited about that. But what are you talking about?" And she kind of says, "Well, today's the shortest day of the year." Because she knows that for me, I typically do recognize and acknowledge the winter solstice. And the shortest day of the year. And of course, that was yesterday. And the reason why I do that is because you begin to recognize that that's the darkest is what it's going to get. That now it's going to start becoming lighter. Every day now is getting longer. Every day now is getting brighter. And hopefully every day now is getting better. Last one I can't always promise, can we? But at least we know that the days are now getting longer again. Now, I don't mourn, what's that, June 22nd or whatever it is when you have the longest day of the year, because now every day's going to get shorter. But at the same time, I do like to take the opportunity, because that makes me a pessimist or an optimist. You figure that out, all right? I do like to look at the fact that things are getting better as we do it. Now, if any of us know the fact that the history of Christmas then, you know that the celebration of Christmas was actually more to do with the winter solstice than with the actual birth of Jesus. The picking of December 25th, there's nowhere in Scripture that it says that's Jesus' birthday. But it has been historically accepted by the church that December 25th would be accepted as Christmas. We recognize the fact, and yes, we do know that the Romans did Saturnalia, the Scandinavians had the Yuletide, and other nations all had their way of celebrating the winter solstice. The celebration of Christmas does historically go back as early as 350 AD, when Pope Julius I first declared Christmas as a religious holiday to be celebrated on December 25th. Many believe is a counter-celebration to the pagan Roman celebration of Saturnalia. By 432, however, the celebration of Christmas had spread down into Egypt, and by the 6th century, it had made its way up into England and across Europe. By the Middle Ages, it had replaced the other pagan holidays and had become the major celebration on December 25th. The pilgrims, however, who landed at Plymouth, were separatists. They had made the decision not to celebrate Christmas as they made their way over here to the United States. But, however, in Jamestown, Captain John Smith wrote that Christmas was enjoyed by all and was the first one to drink eggnog as a part of the Christmas holidays. How many of you like eggnog? Any of you get to do that as well? Sorry, not mine. Okay. Poinsettias, we have a couple of them here, okay? Poinsettias were brought from Mexico by an American minister, Joel R. Poinsett, in 1828, as that became a part then of our Christmas celebrations. And it technically was not until 1870, actually June 26th of 1870, that we officially made Christmas a national holiday in America. Now, I say that because while I was listening to a podcast recently, there were those who kind of promoted the idea of, well, shouldn't we celebrate Jesus' death rather than his birth? And unfortunately, that to me gives us an either-or mentality that many Christians have. We should either celebrate his death or celebrate his birth. Now, do we celebrate his death? Yes. Well, actually, we celebrate his resurrection. We don't really celebrate his death. We celebrate, we do if you recognize Good Friday, but we recognize Good Friday and his death and the celebration of Easter, which as well comes from a pagan roots as well. But we still celebrate it as well. And so this morning, I find it even more interesting to, as we gather together, to celebrate Christmas as the birth of Jesus. In three more days, we will gather together with family and we will celebrate Christmas, the birthday of Jesus, with gifts and food and prayerfully a reading of the Christmas narrative. We recognize this morning as we gather that there are many who will celebrate Christmas without even understanding the real reason for Christmas, nor the real reason behind Christmas. And so this morning, what I want to do is just take a time to kind of highlight the whole thing, not just from one scripture verse, even though Sam had done such a good job of reading the Luke passage, Luke chapter 1 or chapter 2, excuse me, verses 1 through 8 or 1 through 7 as we look at that for a passage this morning. But what I want to kind of do is just do an overview of all of it. And I want to try to tie in the historical roots that we've been looking at as to why we celebrate it from the Old Testament. And we've been looking at the fact that God had in his heart to send Jesus before he even created us. So we look at the realization that Christmas was not kind of an afterthought to God. And I want to continue to bring that home. God didn't try this and then try this and then try this and then try this. Oh, that didn't work. I guess I got it. Jesus, you got to go. What else can we do? But we recognize that the sending of Jesus to become as God's Son and our Savior was the very idea of God, the very plan of God from before the very foundations of the world. Before Adam ever was created and ate the fruit and the curse came. And then hope after that, as Ryan spoke a couple of weeks ago. And before God had ever chosen Abraham to be the father of the Jewish nation. And before God ever sent Isaiah to give the prophecies of the coming of Jesus. There will, you know, a virgin will be with child and you'll call him Emmanuel. And he will be the, you know, the mighty counselor, the everlasting father, the prince of peace. And those passages that we know at Christmas, we recognize that God already had it in his plans. So originally my plans were to look at the promise to David that there will be one who will stand on his throne, that will rule on his throne forever, that will come. And so this morning what I want to try to do is to tie all of that together as we look at Christmas. And so I've kind of just entitled it, He Came. Jesus came. He came to be with us. But he came for much more than just that. And so what I want to do is look at, and you have in your bulletin, five reasons why Jesus came to be with us at Christmas time. And so the first reason I put down is to, and I just use it for the alliteration points, was to start God's salvation plan. To start God's salvation plans. Now, God, I recognize God's plan would have been established from the beginning of the foundation. John begins in his, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so even John, before he announces the coming of Jesus, says that the Word was with God eternally past. So we recognize that it wasn't just God's plan to send him now, but we recognize that also at the coming of Jesus, Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem, born to Mary and Joseph, and all the stories of that we've gone over of the coming of Mary and Joseph, or the message to Mary and Joseph, and now the birth of Jesus in a lowly stable in Bethlehem. We recognize that it all came at just the right time. And we recognize Galatians and Paul tells us that at just the right time, God sent his son into the world. And so we recognize that everything was prepared according to the timetable of God. We recognize that not only was God at work then, preparing history for the coming of his son, but we'll find out when I get to my final point, God is also working in history now, working to bring about the return of his son. That Jesus Christ will come back. When? At just the right time. According to the plan of God, God will once again send his son to the right, at just the right time. But he also came at just the right place. I want you to imagine for a moment the concern of Mary and Joseph. First of all, Mary, when she gets the message from the angel that says she's been chosen to be the one who would give birth to God's son, to the Messiah. We talked about it in our Sunday school class this morning as we walked through the Christmas story and what it was like for Mary. And we asked the question, how did Mary go tell her dad? Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. What would dad say? We recognize that the scriptures talk about how did Mary tell Joseph and what did Joseph do? What was his response? But then even after they've come to recognize that it was God's plan for them to be united together and to give birth to the Son Jesus, both of them being reminded and announced by angels. But then to have Herod make a decree, Caesar Augustus make a decree that everyone should be taxed, so they have to make the trip from Nazareth down into Bethlehem. We don't know whether they walked at all. Tradition kind of has her riding on a donkey. We recognize that Mary and Joseph had to make the trip. And then to come to Bethlehem and to be able to go to the inn, the place where they could stay. Now, at that time, we recognize that either there was like one house where people stayed in, because it wasn't a very big town. Or was it we went door to door, knocking on homes, asking, hey, can we stay? Can we stay? And we find out that the scriptures say what? There was no room for them in the inn. And then it's kind of like, oh, Joseph, it's happening, and oh no, what are we going to do? And into a Bethlehem stable, and there in a manger, give birth to Jesus. But that was all in accordance with God's plan. It started at just the right time, in just the right place, and in just the right way. For it was angels who then announced to the shepherds that the coming of the Messiah has occurred. For born this day in the city of David is the Messiah, is the Christ, is the Lord. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and what? Lying in a manger. So even under the shepherds was given the message that they are in the right place at the right time. The shepherds come as well to join together with Mary and Joseph in bringing their praise unto God. And so we see that Jesus came at Christmas time. And I would say better than start, but start works with my alliteration, but to institute the very kingdom of God, to start the very plan of God's salvation, which will be unto all men. Remember, Joseph was reminded that he will come, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will forgive their sins. And so we recognize that God began his plan of salvation all according to God's plan. Jesus came to institute that plan. Secondly, we see that Jesus came at Christmas time to share in our humanity. John writes it in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He came and lived with us. For here we understand the very incarnation of God, that God himself took on human flesh and came and dwelt with us, became one of us. The Creator became the creature as he took on our form, form of mankind, and became like us. Philippians 2 tells us he left his glory to take on, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather emptied himself, taking on human flesh, taking on the likeness of mankind. He came to share in our humanity. Now, why did he do that? Hebrews tells us he did that so he could suffer with us and know what we're going through and know our suffering. To know the pain that we go through, to know the sorrows that we bear, to know the sufferings that we ourselves have to be a part of. And so the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus was tempted in many ways just as we are, yet did not sin. Jesus came, took on flesh. Because sometimes I think to me the whole Trinity thing, I'm not going to get into there, but we recognize God became human in the person of Jesus Christ. That Jesus set aside his divine privileges and came to become a human with us so that he could suffer with us. But ultimately, he came to die for us. We recognize the fact that Jesus was the one who had to come in order to die for us upon the cross, upon the tree. And Hebrews 2 tells us that he came like us in order that he might set aside death so that all of us who stand in the fear of death can be relieved from that. So Jesus came at Christmas time to share also in our humanity. Now you've heard the stories just as I have of the bird that kept flying into the window, and the man says, if only I could tell it, that it's a window and show it. And then he got the idea, oh yeah, if I could become a bird, then I would show him what it's like. I could conform him. And so God had to become like us in order to inform us of his desire to want to be with us and as well of the salvation that he has for us. Thirdly, Jesus came at Christmas time to save our sins, to save us from our sins. We understand that Jesus realized that the whole reason by which he was coming was that he might save his people from their sins. That's exactly what was told to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. What's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, how does he go about doing that? You and I know that Jesus came not only to bear the burdens of our sins on Calvary, but to go to the cross and there to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. That the penalty that was due you and that was due me was placed upon Christ at the cross. And Jesus knew that he had come to seek and to save those who were lost. Jesus knew that his ultimate destiny was to go to the cross. Jesus knew that he had to come in order to pay the price for our sins. But not only did he come to pay the price for our sins, but he came to redeem us and to rescue us from our sins so that we may no longer have the curse of sin upon us, but that rather because of faith in Christ, we can be set free from our sin. We can no longer walk in the sinful desires that we once walked in, but that we can be redeemed and we can be renewed and we can be forgiven. For Christ came not only to pay the price for our sins, but to rescue us from our sins and to redeem us from the curse of our sins. And so Jesus had to come at Christmas time to save us from our sins. Fourth, Jesus came at Christmas time to show us God. Jesus came at Christmas time to demonstrate himself as God so that we might be able to know God. Jesus says to his disciples when Thomas said, Jesus, we don't know the way. Show us the way. Jesus says, I am the way. But he also tells them, if you have seen me, you've seen God. So he came to demonstrate unto us and to show to us God's grace and God's mercy. John tells us that the Word of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus came to demonstrate unto us and to show to us God's grace and his mercy. For in the Old Testament, God was still gracious and still merciful to the followers of Israel. But they had no way of covering their sin. And so God sent Jesus now, not only to cover our sins, but to show us God through his grace and his mercy. But then secondly, I put down, he came to show us God's way of life. Jesus came to demonstrate and to show us how to live our lives. As we take this word and incorporate it into our lives and take this word and make it become flesh. As we live out our lives in accordance with the truth that God has given to us in his word, we likewise make the word flesh. As we live out the word of God in our lives, living in accordance with the teachings of Scripture and living in accordance with that which Jesus has demonstrated unto us. Now, I think we need to be careful here because there are those who would say, yes, Jesus came as an example to show us the way to live our lives. We understand Jesus came as more than just an example. Jesus also came as a means by which we can live that way. For apart from knowing him and apart from his spirit, we cannot follow his ways. For we all have our own desires, our own selfishness, our own ways in which we want to go. For all of us are like sheep and want to go our own way. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. But the scriptures remind us that Jesus came to show us God's way. That we would live then our lives for him. And lastly, I put down here that Jesus came as well to show us God's future. And this is where I really want to try to end the message. Is not only that Jesus Christ came in the past, so that we today can live and walk and follow after him in our present days. But also Jesus Christ came to establish the future, the kingdom of God, the very presence of God with us. For even in the promise to Abraham and even through the tabernacle and through the temple, God's promise was, I will be your God and you will be my people. And as your people, you will know me as your God. And Jesus came to set up the kingdom of God. He began and inaugurated the kingdom of God. For he said, the kingdom of God is now amongst you, for the kingdom of God is with you. For Jesus instituted and inaugurated the kingdom of God. So we have presently the inaugurated kingdom of God. But then we will finally have the consummated kingdom of God when it's brought together in its completion and in its fullness. And Jesus returns to reign as the king over this land and over his people. Any amens on that? And so just as Jesus Christ came at the right time to fulfill the plan of God in the right place and at the right moment, so likewise he's going to come back. The scriptures tells us when Jesus was ascended up into heaven, the angels came and told the disciples, this one whom you have seen will someday likewise come back in the same way in which you've seen him go. So we recognize that there will come a day in which Jesus will return to establish his kingdom. We want to be sure that on that day we are prepared for his return, for his coming again, as God has promised not only that he would send him, but that he would come back again. I pray that as you celebrate Christmas this week, that you will do it recognizing the fact that God has promised us the return of his Son. That he would come to set up his kingdom and establish it. Now let me quickly, I'll go through my points because I got way ahead of myself. He will come to set up his kingdom as planned by God. Already emphasized that as promised to David. David, there will be one born to you who will come and establish my throne forever. If you read through the New Testament and you even begin in Matthew, this is the recording of Jesus, the son of David. And we see that it always traces itself back through David because of the promise that God gave to David that he would have one who would always be on his throne. And so we recognize that God had planned it, God had promised it to David, and God had provided it for all. You see, the beauty of it is God had planned it through Abraham to get together a people, the Jewish nation, which I believe God will still fulfill his promises unto them. But the beauty of it is the sending of Jesus now opened God's plan unto all people. That means you and me. And so God's plan of salvation is available to all who will by faith place their trust in Jesus Christ. Receive the forgiveness that he came to purchase for them. And also receive him as their Savior. And long for and look forward to his return. For he is coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back to bring salvation to all who know him. But he's also, Scripture tells us, is coming back to judge the world according to righteousness. The righteousness of Christ, which was demonstrated unto us. And so it's proven, provided for all. And again, to keep the alliteration, I put down, it's proven to come. He's coming. He's coming again. As we bring our conclusion of the Advent series, that Jesus came, we must do it with the realization that he will come, that he is coming again. And so we as well, as we look forward to Christmas and look forward to the coming again of Jesus, we say, even as the scriptures end, I end it with this, Revelation verse chapter 22, verse 17, and then as well verse 20. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And then at the end, he says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Jesus is coming again. May we be prepared for his coming by placing our faith in him and knowing the salvation that he has.